God with us. We pray now that you would meet with us in these moments together. May we indeed give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for the wonderful season of the year. Lord, we thank you that God so loved that he gave. Help us now that we might learn to accept your Christmas gift and to share it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 234. While you're turning to that, or while you're getting ready to watch the screen, you all know what a navel orange looks like. We've got about 20 cases of them. I've got about half of those in the car right now. I need some help unloading them after the service in the fellowship hall, I guess, right? Okay. We'll unload them in the fellowship hall, and then Wednesday I'll bring the other half. But anyway, these will be given out for the breakfast with Santa and also at the parade, whenever, whatever they want to do with them. I've already dropped off 25 cases of those to the Community Food Connection in Alcoa. They were donated at no charge. So anyway, if you could help after the service, meet us at the fellowship hall and we will get her done. Number 243, if you're in the hymnal, the words are on the screen. No, it's not 234. My dyslexia is kicking in. 234, let's stand together as we sing.
Adore. exaltation, Jesus, to thee be all glory. Word of the Father, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
May be seated. At this time, we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle.
Last week, we lit the candle of expectation. We will call today's candle, Candle of Preparation. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus. Like the prophet Isaiah had said, John helped people understand that Jesus was greater than John could ever hope to be. Jesus was sent from God to provide forgiveness and salvation to each of God's children. The scripture is Mark 1:1-8. Here begins the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, God said, "Look, I am sending my messenger before you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming. Make a straight road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He lived in the wilderness and was preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. People from Jerusalem and from all over Judea traveled out into the wilderness to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather belt. His food was locusts and wild honey. He announced, "Someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Holy God, you have prepared the way for bringing salvation to your people, and you ask us to prepare the way in our lives again during this Advent season through our thoughts, words, and actions today. Help us to make crooked places straight and rough places smooth in our relationships with all of our brothers and sisters all over the world. Amen.
I'm always intrigued by that scripture that says that John the Baptist lived out in the wilderness and he ate locusts and wild honey. Down through the years, I've pictured John the Baptist with those giant grasshoppers and thought, oh, that poor guy. In the year 2000, I had the opportunity to take a group to Israel and Jordan. While we were there, the bus was stopped one day at one of these sites, and we were getting back on, and we were almost ready to go, and the guide said, wait just a minute. He got off, walked over to a tree, pulled off a long pod off that tree, looked like an overgrown green bean, and he came back on the bus, and he said, you all know what John the Baptist ate, right? And everybody knew locusts and wild honey, yeah. He said, this tree over here is a locust tree. Okay? He said, this pod is off the locust tree. He opened it up, and inside were little beans. He said, now, these beans off the locust tree are carob. Anybody know what carob is? Substitute for chocolate, right? So here J.B. was out in the wilderness, and he may well have been eating chocolate and honey. Okay, and that kind of puts a whole different spin on it, but just one of those little things that we can ponder, and someday we'll be able to ask him personally. You know, he'll give us the whole facts of it. Are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God as we prepare to go to prayer? Oh my. Thank you. Remember Terry in your prayers. Any others? The dog that ate the horse is fine. Pat's not here today, so we can find out how the horse is doing, but okay. Any others? As we prepare our hearts both to go to prayer and for communion this morning, I trust that I sent that to you, Keith. Did I? Didn't I? The prayer of confession and pardon. Let's turn to page 12 in our hymnal. We'll get her done. Page 12. It's on the screen. Okay. Don't need to turn to page 12. He's doing, well, I don't know what I'd do without Keith back there. Between Catherine at home and Keith back there, I've got everybody keeping me in line. Okay. Let's join together and read responsively. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who, are you there? Come on. All who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, in the midst of life, with all of its unsettledness, with all of the confusion and bewilderment on every hand, we thank you that we know who is in control. We thank you that in simple childlike faith, we can place our hand in yours and know that no matter what happens, not only are we going to make it through, but we're going to make it through victoriously. We pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we might do your will. Help us that we might be a Christmas people every day of the year. We pray today that you'd be with our troops. We pray that you'd be with all of our first responders. And be with all of those affected with the COVID, Lord, whether it be those who have it, those who are fighting it, whoever it may be, those who have lost loved ones. We just pray now that as a great physician, you'd watch over each one. Thank you, Lord, for this very special time of the year. May it be more than just a day on the calendar. May it be a time for us to renew our dedication and commitment to you, to allow the babe of the Bethlehem manger to be born anew in our hearts. And we'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Again, may I remind you, the offering receptacles are at the back door and the side door over here. We so much appreciate your faithfulness and the way you are faithful in doing God's work. I forgot the bird wars again. Okay. You may be seated. Don't you dare let anybody ever tell you that these Methodists don't know how to swing. All right, thank you, choir. Thank you. Today's scripture, you're familiar with it. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Wanted us to think for a few moments this morning about our Christmas vision. Oh, a vision not meaning a dream or some otherworldly experience, but what we're able to see. How is your Christmas vision? In a family with six children, Matt was the only boy. Poor kid. But Matt realized as Christmas approached that Dad had always been the one who took the kids to see Santa and the one who made sure that all of the children's Christmas letters got delivered to Santa's workshop at the North Pole so Santa would know just what the kids wanted for Christmas. Dad was their link to Santa. But in 1966, Dad had a heart attack. And for most of the month of December, he was in the hospital. He wouldn't be able to take the children, wouldn't be able to see that the letters were delivered. Matt was concerned. Also, as if that wasn't bad enough, the family had moved that year, so Santa would not even know where they lived. Matt decided that it would be up to him to cover for Santa. Late on Christmas Eve, he snuck downstairs and hung up five of his old basketball socks. They were clean. But he hung them up on the mantle, one for each of his sisters. And then he filled each one of them with trinkets, things that he had bought during the year for each specific sister with money that he got from his paper route. Christmas morning, they all ran to the living room for a double surprise. First of all, Santa Claus had found their house anyway. He left them all the right things. He left just what they would have asked for. And also there was a note from Santa thanking them for the milk and cookies and encouraging them to be good children. Then they discovered the socks all filled with trinkets for each one of the sisters. Everyone was delighted. They recognized the socks. And they knew just what Matt had done. Next to the socks was another letter. It read, Dear children, thank you for the milk and cookies. Remember to be good, mind your parents, say your prayers, and go to church. And it was signed, Love, Santa. P.S. Next year, be nicer to your brother. Even now, the family gathers for Christmas, and there are long stockings hanging from the mantle for everyone. The difference is now that every Christmas Eve, every Christmas night, members of the family will sneak downstairs and put stuff in each one of the stockings for each one of the family members. Matt knew that something had to be done, and he took it on himself to do it. In Luke's gospel, this Christmas account that we read about the shepherds, they saw something that needed to be done, and they rose to the occasion. Let's look at the shepherds and what they were able to see with their Christmas vision. First of all, the shepherds saw the angels. The angels appeared very dramatically, and God's glory was shining all around them. The angels told about the baby in the manger, and they gave glory to God. Yet, as wonderful as that was, nobody else noticed. Nobody else saw them. According to the Bible, Bethlehem and the entire area was filled up. Sort of like being in the city wherever the Super Bowl is going to be held, you know, and trying to find a hotel room. People were packed in. There was no room. But that night, only the shepherds saw the angels. W.E. Sangster was a noted British minister and writer. He told about being invited to a party to celebrate a wedding. He arrived late, didn't know anybody there except for the friend who had invited him. Everyone was laughing and talking and dancing and singing and visiting. They were all having a great time. Except over in the corner at one table was a very attractive young lady just sitting there all alone. When W.E. Sangster asked his friend who the woman was, the friend said, "Oh, that's the bride." Sangster concluded by saying, "Can you imagine being left alone and unnoticed at your own wedding party? Is this how Jesus feels at Christmas? Do we have our Christmas parties and get-togethers and ignore the guest of honor?" The shepherds had their priorities straight. They dropped everything and rushed to the manger to see the Christ child. Cynthia was a hospital chaplain. She had recently relocated and was dreading the Christmas season. Friends and family were all far away, and she felt lonely and unloved. It seemed that even God had abandoned her. She said, "I never expected my very best Christmas gift ever to come in the form of a woman at death's door, all wrapped up like a package. I dropped by the hospital chapel to watch some hospital employees tape their Christmas musical. It was there that I encountered the small, frail, middle-aged patient. A turban covered her head from the side effects of chemo. A face mask protected her from germs. Her wheelchair was draped with sheets and blankets. As the choir performed, she sat there singing Handel's Messiah with all of her heart. Her spirit was soaring. While everything about her physical body whispered sickness and death, a love that transcends death poured from her small frame. She sang with all she had, her pale face luminous and her eyes glittering. In the midst of her struggle for life, she was praising God." The chaplain continued, "It was as if God were saying to me, I don't leave when times are hard. Just as I love this woman, I love you. She said that woman that night was a very special angel of God for me. I saw God through her, and she was a very special gift. You know, we need to realize that the angels of Christmas, and I don't believe in heaven they celebrate December 25th as Christmas. I believe they celebrate every day as Christmas, as Easter, as the Lord's Day. But anyway, think with me. Do we have the eyes of faith to see these angels all around us? There was a song a while back that was popular, said, I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from heaven up above. Yeah. Do we have the ears of faith to hear them? And the hearts of faith to know they're there? If we do, we're going to be able to realize the real reason for the season. Let me share a story with you that you've probably heard 100 times. Let's make it 101. You know, I find it interesting. We have our favorite Christmas songs. How many of you have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life at least 5 times? Uh-huh. I don't know about you, but I've seen Home Alone a few times, and I've seen Groundhog Day quite a few times, and if I get a chance, I'll watch them again. I have my favorite songs. How many times have you sung Jingle Bells in your lifetime? Oh, I know that song. I know. I've already sung that one. Forget it. Now, well, let me share this story with you because it seems to fit very well where we are today. There was once an old shoemaker named Martin who was loved and respected by his neighbors. One Christmas Eve, as he sat alone in his little shop, reading about the visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus and the gifts they brought, he said to himself, if tomorrow were the very first Christmas, and if Jesus were born in our town tonight, I know what I would give him. He rose from his stool and went to a shelf overhead and took down 2 tiny shoes of the softest snow-white leather imaginable. And they had bright silver buckles. He said, I would give him these, my finest work. Replacing the shoes on the shelf, he blew out the candle and went to bed. He had barely closed his eyes and barely dozed off to sleep when he heard someone calling him, Martin, Martin. The voice spoke again. Martin, you wish to see me tomorrow. I shall pass by your window. If you see me and ask me to enter, I will be your guest. Martin was so excited that he couldn't go back to sleep. Before dawn, he arose and swept and tidied up his little shop. He hung green boughs of fir along the rafters. On the spotless linen-covered table, he placed a loaf of bread and a jar of honey and a pitcher of milk. And over the fire, he had a huge pot of tea. And then he went to watch at the window. Before long, he saw an old street sweeper pass by, blowing upon his thin, gnarled hands, trying to warm them. Poor fellow must be half frozen, thought Martin. Opening the door, he called out to him, come in, friend, get warm and have some hot tea. The man gratefully accepted the invitation. An hour later, a young woman in shabby, thin clothes carrying a baby paused to rest in the shelter of his doorway. The heart of the old cobbler was touched. He opened the door and said, come in and get warm and rest a while. You don't look well. She replied, I'm going to the hospital. I hope they will take me and my boy in. My husband is at sea, and I'm sick, and I don't have any friends or family here. Poor child, cried Martin. You must eat something while you're getting warm. Here's a cup of milk for the little one. What a beautiful baby he is. Why aren't his feet covered? I don't have any shoes for him, sighed the mother sadly. Then he shall have this pair I finished yesterday. Martin took the soft little snow-white shoes he admired the evening before. He slipped them on the child's feet. And wouldn't you know it, they fit perfectly. Shortly, the poor young mother left, tearful with gratitude. Martin resumed his post at the window. Hours passed by. Many people walked by his window and many shared his hospitality. But the expected guest did not appear. It was only a dream, sighed Martin with a heavy heart. He did not come. Suddenly, the room was flooded with light. To the cobbler's astonishment, before him appeared the street sweeper, the sick mother and her child, and all the people whom he had helped during the day. Each one smiled at him, and they all said in unison, "Did you not see me? I sat at your table." And then they vanished. Then Martin heard again the gentle voice repeating the old familiar words, "Whoever receives one in my name receives me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and you invited me in. If you've done it for the one of the least of these, you've done it for me." The shepherds saw Jesus. And then thirdly, the shepherds saw the good news of Christmas. How many of you have ever seen or read or heard how the Grinch stole Christmas? Yeah, we got a few of you that will admit it. Okay, I was in a store yesterday and I saw a display rack of them, and I was tempted to get it for illustration purposes this morning, but somehow I was too cheap to pay $16.99 for it, so I didn't. So you're going to have to listen, okay? You remember the story. The Grinch despised Christmas, while the people of Whoville down in the valley below loved Christmas. Their celebrations irritated the Grinch to no end. On Christmas Day, the people of Whoville would gather around their beautifully decorated trees. They would sing and laugh and play as they opened their presents and emptied their Christmas stockings and tasted all of the good food and celebrated the day. The Grinch could not stand all of those joyous sounds. Finally, the Grinch hatched an evil plan. He would steal Christmas, and that would stop all of the laughing and singing. He disguised himself as Santa and went from house to house, stealing all of the toys and gifts and decorations. He was so proud of himself and his evil deed. On Christmas morning, he waited to hear the sounds of sadness and dismay when the people of Whoville discovered that Christmas had been stolen. But, to his amazement, he did not hear wailing and crying. Instead, he heard the same joyful sounds he had always heard. The people of Whoville were singing and laughing and celebrating Christmas. Here's a lesson we need to remember. If the people of Rockwood, Roan County, East Tennessee, the United States of America, the world, if we would allow Jesus Christ to be born anew in our hearts, no one could steal our Christmas? No one. I almost said not even anybody in Washington, D.C., but I won't get into that this morning. No, no one can steal our Christmas if. The real joy of Christmas is not in material presents, as nice as they might be. It's in receiving the gift of Christmas that really matters. The gift of God's Son, all wrapped up in God's love. The shepherds saw it, and we're told that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. They saw the angels. They saw the Christ child. They saw the good news of Christmas. Imagine what could happen in our church if we would allow God to touch our eyes and ears and hearts, that we might see and hear and feel the real meaning of Christmas. The coming of that babe of the Bethlehem manger, not only to the manger in Bethlehem, but also anew and afresh into our hearts. And then if we could learn to share the good news with others, to have it in our own heart and to reach out and share it with family and with friends and with all of God's children, wherever they may be. We are so blessed. Jonathan, I appreciate all the work you put into this. It's beautiful. I always look forward to Christmas at Rockwood because this place is so special. Do you realize how many billions of people there are in this world that don't get to see something like this? That don't get to have the heat, even if there's too much of it? Or if you want to see the other extreme, go in the choir room. It's still livable in there. We're blessed. We wonder what we're going to have for lunch. Billions of people are wondering if they're going to have lunch. Folks, Merry Christmas. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that you would help us, that we might remember what this season of the year is all about. We pray that you would take the clutter out of our minds and hearts and help us, just like old Martin the shoemaker, that we might get our hearts ready for Jesus to come anew and afresh. And that we might hear him say to us, if you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Thank you, Lord. Meet with us now. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. At this time, I'd like to ask if you would make your way down to the front in an orderly fashion. Come down the center aisle, perhaps, and go back the side aisles. Pick up a cup, take it back to your seat with you. If somebody wants to grab a dozen of them and take them back so that not everybody has to come up, that's fine too. Would you come? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to getting back on a regular plan with everything, and especially with communion. On Christmas Eve, we're having a 5 o'clock candlelight communion service. Christmas Eve, candlelight communion service at 5 o'clock. I'm looking for ways that we might be able to serve the people rather than it being a do-it-yourself project. So be in prayer about that service. Plan for your family and friends to attend with you. We will look forward to it. Choir, do you have yours up there? All right, you guys are on the ball. Okay. You may want to get a head start and start trying to open this thing up. They have the adult proof caps. All right. If you can get the clear one off first, you're on your way. The scriptures tell us. I'll really allow you some time to get back to your seats here. But the scriptures remind us that on that night when Jesus was betrayed, as he sat in that upper room with his disciples, he took the bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat ye all of it in remembrance of me." Then we're told that he took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you. Not that we're good enough to come to your table, but that your grace is big enough to receive us. Thank you, Lord, that we can share in these emblems of the body and blood of Christ. Your word says, "As you have received Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him." May we receive him into our hearts anew as the babe of the Bethlehem manger, and also as the Christ of Calvary's cross. Remind us of the price that he paid. Remind us, as we receive these emblems of his body and blood, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 240. Words are also on the screen, number 240. Hark the herald angels sing. Shall we stand?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the new. King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ my highest heaven adorned, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. As man with us to dwell, as our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Son of righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us sons of earth, born to give a second birth. Hark, the feral angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Do remember especially, in this Advent season, we've got a lot of things going on we want you to be a part of. We have Naval Oranges that we need help unloading on the other side of the Fellowship Hall. If you could help us with those, that would be great. Also remember, weather permitting, tomorrow night is the Christmas parade. Where's everybody meeting, Terry? Okay. Line up at Evans's. That's close enough. About 5:30. Okay, thank you much. And remember, next Saturday is Breakfast with Santa, and they're going to have a pancake bar. If anything will get Santa here, that will. But anyway, we want you to be a part of that. Remember during this very special season to remember those folks who aren't quite as blessed as we are. Be sure to give to them. Then remember Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock, candlelight communion service. We'd love to have a good crowd here for that.
Choir Wednesday,
thank you. I knew there's something else. Choir Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Okay, thank you. Well, I'm glad you all are on the ball. Thank you very much. Now, as we leave this place, may we leave it as a people celebrating the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That if we would just receive this gift, we would not perish but have everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.